So, as you know, we've had a 3-week break now, and everybody got into shenanigans. Lewis went to Coachella.
Oh God!
All the drivers kind of went everywhere, but my favorite part of this little break that we got is Charles Leclerc announcing that he's going to be producing music in his spare time, and he's going to be releasing his first single in the coming weeks.
And it's going to be called Tears from all the defeats at Ferrari.
Oh, dude, this is the funniest part. It's called Oz 23, AUS 23.
Oh, no. Is this an April 1st kind of thing or
April Fool's Day? No, it's too late, dude. Late April at this point.
Yeah, it's been a minute since the last race. Well, looks like Charles is emulating our boy Lewis there. I hope his setup is a little better than Lewis's laptop on a couple of books.
I don't know, man. But Oz 23, I think, says it all. Welcome back to the grandstand. It is F. Knowles here in New York and the boy P. Money Pouchon in Perry. What's Gucci?
Man, what's going on? I'm excited for race week, finally.
Yeah, the last few weeks have been, I don't want to say twiddling thumbs. I've actually kind of enjoyed the fact that there hasn't been a race, but now I want it back. Now I want it all back.
It's been a bit too long. A week is good. 2 weeks is a stretch. 3 weeks is too much. It feels like summer, and I'm ready to get back.
I know, man. We were supposed to have this Chinese Grand Prix during this period, which is why it's such a long break, but we've got a few things to talk about. Let's roll that intro.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
Yeah, Charles is gonna be the new. I don't know what'll be. What do you think Charles's like professional music career would be?
I know he plays the piano.
Yeah, so it's piano
very well. Okay, so at least he's not trying to be like the Monaco DJ. I feel like a few F1 drivers have gone down that route. Jaime Alguersuari, who was Toro Rosso driver back in the day, became a full-time DJ in Ibiza, and apparently the one who we shall not name, aka Nikita Mazepin, is now a DJ wherever he is. Well, you know, I could see, you know, Charles keeping it classy and doing some concertos in Italy.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, but the video that he put out was pretty funny. It's this very, very fluid, very pretty video, but it's, you know, close-ups of his face, his fingers, his multi-million-dollar Richard Mille watch. It's like, and there's no sound, so you can't actually hear if it's any good or not. But apparently, the single's about is disappointment from Australia 2023.
So a lot of slow motion,
exactly,
close-ups of his face, yeah.
But speaking of Charles, there've been some murmurs involving him and one Lewis Hamilton. Ooh. For next season.
Yeah,
have you heard about this?
I didn't believe it at first, but crazy things have happened in the past. So it seems like Charles could be out of a contract if he continues to perform like he did. And I don't know if you saw Helmut in the press was also stirring shit up, saying if he doesn't score a certain amount of points by summer, there's a clause in his contract that Ferrari may be able to break that contract. So let the silly season start.
I would never agree to that clause in my contract.
Well, think about it. If a driver all of a sudden sucks, as the team, you can give him the boot without having to pay a Danny Rick style payout like happened to McLaren last year.
True. But if you, I don't necessarily think this falls on Charles, all the whole thing, but regardless, there's murmurs that he and Lewis could swap seats next year.
Can you imagine F. Knowles being a Ferrari fan, supporting Lewis at Ferrari?
That'd be a tough one, man.
Hey, man, we'd be rooting for the same team for the first time in F1.
I don't know. I mean, again, it's just a murmur. Apparently, it's not. It's a little bit of an open secret that Charles has had conversations, and so has Lewis. I don't know. Let's see how. I mean, silly season will begin. There are a lot of drivers who could make some moves in the upcoming silly season. But regardless, I want to see how that progresses. Another thing, and we've kind of addressed this. Another thing that came up since our last episode, Felipe Massa has now formally assembled a legal team to see the viability of challenging the 2008 championship, Formula One championship. All I'm going to say on this, and maybe you've got a comment, is Felipe Massa, time to move on.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I remember being a Ferrari fan back in the day. And for those of you who didn't see it, Lewis Hamilton, that was his first title with McLaren at the time, McLaren Mercedes. And he won that on the last lap. Go check out YouTube highlights because it was epic, an epic end to the championship. But it would be strange if they changed the results 15 years later. And I don't think they will.
No.
But, you know, if this evolves, obviously, you'll hear from us. We'll discuss this.
It's ridiculous. Anyway.
It would mean that Lewis would only be a 6-time world champion.
yeah. It's absurd. Anyway, whatever. Felipe, if you ever listen to this, I get it, man. But come on. Time to... he's just creating beef in the paddock. And he's also doing interviews.
Yeah, and he works for Formula One.
Right. It's kind of a weird thing to then go do, given that you're going to be in the paddock every weekend. Everyone's just kind of look at you kind of like, are you serious, bro?
Tell you what, I'd love for Felipe to interview Lewis if he's in the top three after qualifying or something. That would be awkward.
Yeah, just a little bit. We are back racing. We're back in Baku, in Azerbaijan. What is one of the bigger oil capitals of the former CIS or the current CIS, Commonwealth of Independent States.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah, drops. That's some geographic knowledge that I just dropped on y'all. Not a stat like you've got, but
don't worry, I'll get those.
They're coming up, dude. We've got a sprint race, our first sprint of the season.
That is right. We're back and we're going to get more racing than usual. Get the sprint, change it up.
I like the sprint race format. I enjoy it. I think it's an exciting, I don't think we should have it all the time, though they're looking at adding more to the calendar year. I enjoy the sprint race. We've obviously seen it shake up the front. We saw that with Danny Rick's last win, right?
Yeah.
What was that at Monza?
With McLaren. So what the sprint does, which I like, is that it doesn't enable teams, especially top teams, to really fine-tune their car. And if certain teams go the wrong direction on Friday, they have to stick with it because they have to qualify on Friday, and then they have that sprint race on Saturday. And it could, you know, it could take away the advantage of the team in front, or the team in front could be even further away. Hopefully
right.
Not, though, this weekend. So I'm optimistic about Mercedes or Ferrari mixing it up, going the right direction, and maybe catching up with Red Bull this weekend.
I actually think this weekend the sprint race could really benefit Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Aston.
Yeah, let's not forget about those boys in green.
That's right. You know, this track is different. Fast track, low downforce, we'll see those skinny wings. You know Alonso is going to love this track. He doesn't make mistakes.
He's made a lot of mistakes. Maybe not on the track.
Oh, yeah. He's made a lot of career mistakes. Poor decisions, yes. Can Aston Martin actually bridge the gap with Red Bull? That's a good question.
I think the sprint race could be the equalizer that we're looking for, honestly. I think we could see that happen. I do think, I will say, I really do enjoy the sprint race. Like I said, I enjoy the sprint races. And there's also possibility for just fuck ups, right? Like for crashes and, you know, teams having to rush to get their car ready for, you know, Sunday. From a fan perspective, it's exciting. And that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, we could see some red flags. We could see some crashes. And that's also why I think some team members are not a big fan. Some team principals are not a big fan of sprint races, because a crash in a sprint race means you need to repair that shit before Sunday's main event. And that means money. And we got a cost cap.
And that's the thing with the cost cap in place. One of the things that has come out in the week since the Australian Grand Prix is that Formula One is considering adding more sprint races to the calendar. And certain team bosses, one in particular,
your favorite,
his name starts with a C. His last name starts with an H. He is the team principal of a team called Red Bull. His name's Christian fucking Horner. And
wow, and for a minute there, I thought you really didn't want to say his name.
No. His name's Christian Horner, and no, naturally, I think this happens when you're. You know, you're successful and you're in the lead and you don't want anything to potentially disrupt how your season's going. And that's what a sprint race does have the potential to do that. I think more so than a regular weekend when you're qualifying on Saturday and you're racing on Sunday. It's convenient to say that. However, you also see some of the teams who don't have the same budget as a Red Bull saying they love the sprint race. What's your motivation for saying that?
This is pure F1 politics. When you're at the top, you don't want anything that may disrupt your well-oiled machine to get. A sprint is just another moment where the cars can get in a crash and fucks up the main event. And when you're dominating, you don't want that. You just want the main race. You want to score those points. If Red Bull were in Ferrari's position or Mercedes' position, they would love a sprint because it means we get another opportunity to go at the main team. Whoever's in front is going to hate the sprint. Whoever's P2 and down is going to love the sprint because they're going to take more risks.
Always. But I'll take any moment to kind of rip on the Red Bull operation. I think it's funny that Christian's coming out and saying he doesn't like it. And then Günther Steiner is coming out and saying, yeah, I mean, he wasn't necessarily for or against. He's like, it's going to happen because it's, you know, financially for the sport, it's attracting more fans. It's more exciting, right? So it's not up to the teams. It's not, the teams have a say, but I do feel like the sport itself is gonna actually make the decision. But regardless of that, I like the sprint race, as I've said now three times.
I don't know where I stand on the whole sprint thing, because we've seen some good ones and we've also seen some very neutral ones where drivers don't take risks. So
true.
It's the first time we're seeing it in Baku.
True.
And Baku is prone to restarts, red flags, crazy incidents. So I understand why teams are a bit skeptical about this, but as a fan, I'm excited to see it in Baku.
Yeah, same. I think that front straight on a sprint race. And there are teams right now ultimately who are ultimately fighting to maintain a decent position. I think one of them is McLaren, right? McLaren has a lot that they could gain from a sprint race this weekend.
Yes, and this is a big weekend for McLaren. They, as we said in previous episodes, McLaren didn't really develop their car in the way they wanted to over the winter. Apparently, they found out something deep into the winter and they couldn't put it in the car on time for winter testing and the start of the race. Now they're coming up with a huge upgrade, or big upgrade. Let's say big upgrade. New floor, brand new floor. So we'll see if this B-spec car, they might be calling it, will allow them to get a little higher. It'd be nice to see Lando fighting with Lewis, or you know, mixing it up in that top midfield.
Yeah, I mean, Baku's going to be a big test for them. I think we're going to see if a different version of McLaren shows up this weekend. And if they do, that's got some big, that'll have some big, big implications for the rest of the midfield. Because they're really, I mean, the midfield. There's Red Bull and then there's everyone else at this point.
Yes.
It seems like. which is funny too, because like there does seem to be a shifting midfield at the moment.
Yeah, the order is different from track to track, I feel. And if you're a McLaren fan, don't expect huge leaps either, because Baku is an atypical track. So give them time. We won't judge McLaren on this race.
Yes, we will. Are you kidding me?
We will. Yeah. Of course we will.
I don't know what you're saying.
Either bring it or get the fuck out, all right?
Later. Or you're a bunch of bitches. I think McLaren, given the amount of chatter that's come from their camp, they, at this point, really have a lot to prove. The result in Australia wasn't bad, but I think they've got to show up this weekend, and the sprint race could help them. The next thing, though, for me that I'm looking at this weekend is the George versus Lewis battle. And I don't know if this is necessarily coming directly from Lewis or if it's just speculation. I think it might be a little bit of both. I do feel that Lewis's love for the sport is still there, but if George continues to outperform Lewis and does it again this weekend, should we really all be wondering about Lewis's future in the sport? And we spoke earlier about, you know, the potential for a swap between Lewis and Charles at Ferrari. Like, these are things that I feel are, as we enter into May, which is kind of the unofficial start of silly season, we have to be wondering about Lewis's future in the sport if we see George put in another big performance.
I would answer no. So let's start off by giving you a little stat.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
Russell has outqualified 3 out of 3 this year. Where I will defend Lewis is that this year's car, he asked for certain changes. Remember, he said, I told you to go this direction. I think this is in Bahrain, and we didn't go. You should have listened to me. Apparently, what's going on at Merck, the driver position is too forward in the car, and Lewis can't feel the rear of the car, and he needs to feel the rear to be able to put in those laps. So for me, that explains a lot. And I saw a photo of cars one below the other, of Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes, and you can just tell that the driver helmet is slightly more forward in the Mercedes, and that's really affecting Lewis's driving style, apparently. You know, there's a big reshuffle this week with James Allison switching roles with Elliott.
Right.
Here again, don't expect huge changes right away, but next year's car could come back to Lewis. So maybe Lewis chalks it up to another shit year, you know, in his standards, and he's motivated for next year. I wouldn't be so quick as to say Lewis will jump ship because he's loyal to Mercedes.
I think so.
It's only normal, you know, to have chats with Ferrari because, you know, every driver wants to drive for the most beautiful, the most epic, the most successful team in history.
Oh my God. What a buildup.
I had to.
Yeah. Oh man, that's funny. Here's a stat for you. I don't know if this is considered a stat or just a fact. Lewis has only raced in Formula One with a Mercedes engine. Even his time at McLaren, they had Mercedes power.
That's right.
You know, maybe he's loyal to the engine supplier as much as he is to the team. I think, and this is why I think Toto's a very good manager, one of the best, if not the best, in Formula One. I think he has the ability to tell Lewis if he wants to go and explore stuff. But I think doing that actually gives Lewis the confidence to say, you know what, I really like this team. I like how it's managed. I'm free to do what I want. You know, Ferrari is its own beast where you're kind of babysat in some ways.
Oh, Ferrari is not the same. He will not be able to go to fashion runway shows. in New York, he'll be judged every single day in the Italian press. What I will say about Toto is that the reason why he's also opened that door is because he's found a superstar in George Russell. We no longer have a Hamilton and Bottas situation. We have two alpha drivers.
Right.
No pun there.
No pun intended. I have a feeling Lewis performs really well this weekend. He tends to really like the sprint races. He's one of the drivers who doesn't really hold back in the sprint races, generally. He kind of goes all out. It's important for him to finish above George. That's what I'll say, ultimately.
Are you feeling the heat already? He's 20 points ahead of George, but yeah, George has really brought a lot of performance. I think it'd be nice to see Lewis closer to George in qualifying.
I agree.
It'd be better to see him ahead of George.
100%.
To show he's motivated and still in this, right?
Absolutely. Here's another thing, though. Going back to your beloved Ferrari.
Oh, there we go.
Yep. Is Ferrari in desperation mode?
Well, I'd like to say no, but Ferrari needs a result this weekend.
So that's a yes.
Yeah, it's a yes. I was trying to hide the yes with a maybe, but no, it's 100%. Ferrari needs to get their shit together. I feel that in the offseason already, and I might have mentioned this on a previous episode, Ferrari, we need to give Vasseur some time. But when you're a Ferrari, you're not allowed that time. So we need to see some improvement. You're clearly not a Red Bull beater, but you need to show up in that fight for P2, P3. Because at the moment, Ferrari is behind Mercedes as well on performance, right? Looking at what happened last year, that just means that two teams have done a better job on the offseason. And as Ferrari, who was very happy with their targets they set over the winter about achieving their aggressive performance targets, they realized that other teams made a bigger leap forward. And that's unacceptable for Ferrari because they need to be fighting for a title. And John Elkann's brother, Lupo, was quoted as saying Ferrari needs to show up. And when you have those big guys saying things like that, it's never a good sign.
But again, like this is perennially the problem with Ferrari, right? They put so much pressure to perform that ultimately nobody performs. And it the culture just doesn't ever seem to change. Like it's kind of crazy. But, you know, just as far as that's like a deeper conversation about the internal structure of the Federico Ferrari organization.
Existential.
Yeah. Could put people on suicide watch, but like,
yeah, no joke.
Straight up. Yeah. No, it's not a joke. Sorry. I don't mean to joke about that. Jesus. Oh man. I dare say they need a podium this weekend.
I agree.
So need to outperform Aston Martin. And that's another question I have. Is Aston Martin, they seem to just be kind of riding this let's finish in P3 wave and just be happy about it.
P3 or P2?
Well, P2 as constructors, I was saying, you know, they've, you know, Fernando's been finishing on the podium in P3.
Oh, the hat trick of podiums. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Fernando P3
right.
For the first three races. I think Aston Martin is the most exciting team this year.
Wow.
I don't look at Red Bull because I'm a little jaded already, but Aston Martin have more time in the wind tunnel, having finished seventh last year, and I think they have a smart racing team. It, you know, ex Force India, known for performing with very little budgets at the time, and now given the massive investment by Papa Stroll, I can only be optimistic about their progression throughout the year.
Yeah, it does seem like they're only going to get better.
Get that Fernando win.
Barring any technical fuck up, I think Aston has a good weekend. Quickly, though, there's one team who I think we've spoken about teams who need a result this weekend. There's another one, and they're the all-French unit, Alpine. After that double DNF, damn, that team needs to bring it this weekend.
Alpine needs a result, and I think Gasly really needs to score points. Let's forget about that incident. We know those two drivers didn't like each other earlier, but let's not make a story out of something that shouldn't. You know, there's no drama there.
No.
At least that's what the comms team is trying to tell you. yeah, I think points, high points would be a good option for Alpine this weekend. So we forget about that little mishap. And also first race of the season with the blue Alpines, by the way.
Ah, that's right. They've been using that silly yellow or pink.
Yellow.
the pink livery. Yeah, I think they need a double points finish. I mean, this season's actually, the exception of the front, is insanely competitive. You know, it's kind of week in, week out. Who's going to finish in the kind of P3 to P10 position? And obviously, Aston and Red Bull have kind of maintained that. And that does bring me to my final question for you. If Red Bull win this weekend, is the championship pretty much over? Like, do we need to even talk about who's winning? It pains me to say it.
I've said it here before. I think Max is already world champion.
Oh, God.
But, keep in mind, cost cap, less wind tunnel, that penalty from going over the 2021 cost cap. So that means an additional penalty. So even less time in the wind tunnel means that other teams will have the opportunity to catch up. So on one hand, I think Red Bull is miles ahead, but on the other, a little optimistic. So
from what I've read, it sounds like the wind tunnel penalty is going to affect them in a very marginal way, like very, very limited way, which I hate to say it, cause we're going to get into our stand championship points. And I already, I don't see Red Bull losing this weekend. Let's just put it that way.
It just pains you to have to say they're going to win.
Yeah, it does. It does. But now I know how everyone felt when Mercedes was running away with races, you know, in between 2013 and 2021. Can't win it all, right? Uncomfortable laughter.
Just like, you know, the stand championship, we can't win them all. You're ahead this year, my friend.
Yeah, man. It's been, we're what? Let's see. I've been ahead now for almost the entirety of the season.
Yeah, just like Max, you took the lead early and you're holding on to it.
Let's see how this goes this weekend. But I think you're first there, buddy.
All right, pal. So,
not your pal, friend.
Oh, the driver I'm going to put on pole is definitely not your friend, pal. Because I do think that, yeah, I'll stop there for that. I do think, I agree with you. I think it's hard to put anyone else on pole but Red Bull. And I'm going to go for Max. And since Max doesn't share, he's also going to win the race. I do think that this is a good track for Checo. But in P2, you know, he likes his street tracks. I'm going for it. Leclerc getting the first podium of the year.
Oh.
Yep. Alonso, I'm sorry, but you're going to only get P4 and then Sainz P5.
Wow.
Yeah, the Gromo is going to go to De Vries. Just because, trying something out.
That's strong. That's strong. All right. So I'm going to meet you on pole through P2. So Max pole, Max P1, Checo P2. Now, barring anything happens in the sprint, which I, you know, is a possibility, I think we're going to see Lewis P3.
Okay.
Lewis P3. I'm going to go George P4 and Alonso P5. And the Gromo is going to go to, I think it's going to be Logan Sargeant. Wow. I think I know my fellow countrymen, I'm sorry to do that to you, bro, but
are you playing the numbers there?
Or? I'm playing the numbers game.
Yeah, because he's had a really good start to his fun career.
He's had a pretty decent start.
I hope you're wrong, because I like the kid.
I like the kid. I don't dislike him. I just those.
Also, I don't want you to get the points, but you don't want to miss Baku. Tight sector 2, oh, very fast sector 3. There's going to be a lot of action this weekend.
Tighter than a minx. I don't even know if that's a phrase. Anyway, I'm excited for this weekend. We'll be following next week with a review of the Baku race. Follow us on all the social medias. Make sure to give us a review on any platform that you listen to your podcast on. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're there. P Money, anything else for us?
I would like to say give us a 5-star review, because that would really help us. And yeah, join the banter. If you have any questions about F1 in general that you want us to address in these episodes, feel free to also send us those, and we'll take care of that next episodes.
We'll take care of you. That's what you're saying. We'll see you on the next one.